Bibles, if you would, 2 Corinthians, chapter number 9, want to share with you a thought this morning. This time of year is amazing. You get looking, and we have Thanksgiving, and then we have Christmas, and seem like the stores around us just kind of get where they jump over Thanksgiving. They go, they don't mind to advertise. Of course, it makes money, I guess, on Halloween, things like that. But Thanksgiving, it kind of just jumps over and jumps right into Christmas. And of course, I'm sure it's for economical reasons they do those things. But this morning, I want to share with you a verse that covers both Thanksgiving and Christmas. And in chapter 9, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. Now, he's dealing with a matter that he dealt with in the last chapter 2, and that's one of giving. Now, here, the people at Corinth had made a pledge. They were going to give and help the church in Jerusalem. They were going through some hard times, and they were going to give an offering to them. And so in giving that offering, he wrote to them, and he told them in verse number 4, and verse 3 and 4, he was going to send his brethren, the brethren over there, to remind them so that they could get their offering together, because he'd been bragging on what they were doing and what they'd committed to do. In verse 4, he said, I want you to be ashamed when we come by not having this offering that you've committed to the church at Jerusalem. Now he goes on in verse number 6, chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. He goes on, he says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and those that sow bountifully shall reap bountifully. And he says, every man as he's purposed in his heart, in verse number 7. The Bible says that God, in the last part of verse 7, that he loves a cheerful giver. Somebody asked me one time, said, preacher, you ever preach on giving at your church? I said, yeah, sometimes, not a lot. But I always believe this, if God gets your heart, he gets all the rest of you. Don't have to worry about preaching about that a lot if he got your heart. If you don't have your heart and you can't give with your heart, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. He don't want you to give grudgingly. If that's the only reason you're giving, I just suggest you keep it in your pocket. You're not helping the case none. You're not helping your case none. But anyway, he said, now I want you to understand, I'm sending these people to you. He said, now in verse number 10, all down through the next few verses, through 13 and so forth, he said, what they'll do is they will receive it and God will get thanksgiving because of your giving to them. In other words, God's going to use your offering and things you do, and other people's going to be blessed by it. They're going to give God praise and thankful and thanksgiving there. As a matter of fact, he uses the word thanksgiving twice. There in verse number 11 and verse number 12 both. And they'll give it because of the liberality of the giving of the Corinthian church. Then he goes on in verse number 14. He says, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for exceeding grace of God in you. Then verse 15 is where I'm going to preach. He says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And so this morning I want to take that verse and I want to preach. That thing preaches thanksgiving, thanks be unto God. And he also preaches Christmas for his unspeakable gift. The gift of God was his son, and for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so this morning I want to preach about this. Some things that God has given me that I just can't describe. The word unspeakable means, and it's a new word that Paul uses, it means I can't put into words how to describe the gift that God has given us. In other words, how can you describe Jesus? You can say, well, he's a son of God, he came down from the earth, but whatever words we use will not be adequate to describe the gift that God gave us. And let me say this, the gift is so great. You say, what will we be doing in heaven? When we get to heaven, we're not be talking about how great grandma was or how great grandpa was or what I did over here. There'll be one that will get all praise. That will be the Son of God. The gift is so great that we'll spend eternity praising God for His gift. How can you put that into words? How can you describe it? Now let me say this, and I want you to focus in on verse number 15. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Now turn with me two places. Keep your finger here and turn two places. Look if you would in 2 Corinthians or 2 Timothy chapter number 3. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, Paul reveals to us that the last days in which we live will be dangerous times. He uses the word perilous. He lists several things and reasons why they will be dangerous. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. He says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Not that they might come or a possibility, but they shall come. Verse number 2, "For men shall be lovers of" what? "Their own selves." One thing is going to make this dangerous times, everybody's going to love themselves. That's why somebody said, how can a mother walk away from her children and leave them? Or how can a father walk away from her children? How can they abuse this one? How can they do this? How can somebody do? Because they love themselves. They don't love nobody else but their own self. Look on in verse number 2. "For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous," means that they're wanting what everybody else has got, "covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." What's the next word? "Unthankful." One thing that makes the world dangerous is people being unthankful. Look on, keep your finger in 2 Corinthians, and go back, if you would, to Romans chapter number 1. In Romans chapter number 1, the Bible tells us how men fell from God and fell away from God when they knew God. And instead of worshiping God for who He was, some of the reasons that they departed from God and fell away from Him. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter 1. And by the way, he also tells us what this is going to lead into if you read the last part of chapter 1 of Romans. But notice, if you would, in verse number 18. The Bible says, "For the wrath of God," and by the way, the word wrath means stored up anger of God, "the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are" what? In other words, God says, I've showed you, I put something inside of you, and you have no reason not to believe that I am who I say I am. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in God. That's not going to take away God at all. I don't believe in hell. That's not going to erase hell. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. Notice in verse number 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were" what? Whoa. Look here. They began to fall away from God because they were unthankful. That's part of the reasons that they turned away from God. They wasn't thankful. And then the Bible says in the last days, one thing that's going to make it dangerous is people are going to be unthankful. Have you ever given somebody something and they just don't even appreciate it? You know, our kids sometimes, they have so much. When we were growing up, if we got one thing for Christmas a lot of times, man, we were happy. But these kids get all kinds of stuff. They'll play with it, throw it down, play with it, and they don't see it again ever. And it just sits, and you put it in a yard sale sometime and give away for nothing. What makes that? We've raised them to have so much. They're not thankful for what they get. But let me say something about America. I've been outside of America. I've been foreign countries, and I'll tell you this. In America, we have forgotten how to be thankful because we've been spoiled. We have so much we don't appreciate what God has been to us. That's why I like that song over there. God's been good, and boy, we need to be thankful that we need to understand that we've been blessed. Now, the Bible says we are to be content. How can we be content? I've seen a lot of people, somebody say, well, if I had more money, I could be content. If I had more of this, I could be content. Listen, I've seen very few wealthy people that was content. Most of them wants more and more and more and more and never satisfied. What brings contentment? You know what brings contentment? A thankful heart. Learning to be thankful. Now, let me say this. Thankful people rejoice in what they have. You understand? You say, well, I ain't got much. I bet you got a lot more than a lot of other people's got. You need to be thankful for what you got. And maybe if you're not thankful for what you got, maybe God don't want to give you nothing else. If you don't appreciate what you have, you say, well, preacher, so-and-so over here, they got so much. What's that any business of yours? Has God been good to you? Did you walk in this building on your own 2 feet? Are you listening with your own 2 ears? Are you looking in your own eyes? Are you listening with your own mind? God's been good to you if you just got a body to walk in here. Amen. There's a lot of people who give a lot of things just to be able to walk in here on their own 2 feet. To be able to sit. You say, well, preacher, well, so-and-so, they got a new car. You know, thankful people not only rejoice in what they have, thankful people refuses to be ruled by what they don't have. In other words, if you're thankful, you're not sitting there whining about everything that you don't have. And you don't sit and the devil, he loves to trap people in just being a covetous and wanting more and more and more and more. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. He had opportunity for eternal life. You know what made him lose it? The love of money. Somebody said, well, there's nothing wrong with having money. No, it's only when the money has you. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And the danger of having too much money is sometimes the money gets you. And by the way, you don't have to be rich to have the love of money. Sometimes the love of money rules your life. But thankful people appreciates what they have. Thankful people does not allow what they don't have to rule their life. In other words, they lay in bed and they can't be happy, they can't be content about nothing because they don't have something that they want. The third thing is this, thankful people realizes that God gave them all that they've got. The Bible says every good gift comes from where? In the book of James. Comes from above. Every good gift. Now picture this a minute. Did you get this? James chapter 1. Verse number 17, every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God above. Amen. Everything good that you have, he gave you. Can you name one thing you got good? Well, you need to be thankful to God because he gave it to you. You say, well, preacher, I'm thankful for my children. Well, tell him. He gave them to you. You say, well, preacher, I'm thankful for my health. Thank him. He gave it to you. I'm thankful for my spouse. Well, thank him. I'm thankful for... Thank him. You see, every good gift that you have, God's gave you. He's responsible. So not only is thankful people, if you want to be content in life, thankful people appreciates what they have. Thankful people is not ruled by things they don't have. And thankful people knows from where it came from. It's from God. Now, I said all that to say this. The Bible says there are some things that are never satisfied in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 15, 16. The Bible says these four things are never satisfied. The grave. Did you know they dig 60 graves every minute around in this world? And someday it'll be your grave. You say, I don't like to think about that, preacher. Well, I guess a lot of people don't like to think about it, but the Bible says it is appointed man wants to die and after this judgment. Whether you want to think about it or not, eventually you're going to die. You say, well, I hope not. Well, the only thing that saves you is Jesus coming back. But listen to me very carefully. The grave is never satisfied. It's always open. It never hangs out a sign, no vacancies. Death comes, and it's not ruled by age. It's not ruled by this. It's not ruled by that. Death is never satisfied, the Bible says. The second thing the Bible says never satisfied is a barren womb of a woman. A woman that wants a baby, I watch these women around these little babies. You walk in, somebody walks in a little bit, oh, they go, here they go grabbing them. And someone who doesn't have one, there's something that they just, they're never satisfied with that. The Bible also says, ground that has no water, in other words, dry ground, is never satisfied. And the last thing, the Bible says fire. Hell is never satisfied, folks. The Bible says hell is a literal place. You better believe it's a literal place. It's not only that, it's a very large place. Matter of fact, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11 says that hell enlarged herself. It's a very loud place, screaming, weeping, gnashing of teeth. You say, boy, there are going to be a lot of people down there. Yes, but it's a very lonely place. Because you're going to be tormented in your own miseries. Now, let me say this. Get back, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Notice the verse. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Can I share with you some things that we ought to be thankful for if we're saved that we just can't find words to describe? Now, I know that we could sit here and you could stand up and say, well, I'm thankful for my children, I'm thankful for my house, I'm thankful for my job, I'm thankful for this. Those are temporary things. You know, everything we have down here, somebody can take from us. But there's things that God has given us that nobody can take from us. Amen. But now listen to me. Somebody said, well, I've worked hard and I've got a big nice house. It could burn the ground while we're here this morning. But can I let you in on a little secret? Life should not be built up in your house. Your house shouldn't stop just because something happens to you. Your life shouldn't stop just because something happens to your house. Somebody said, well, my job, I'm so thankful for my job. I've got such a good job. And I've seen people, when they lose jobs, just go into depression. Can I tell you something? Don't let your life just be built up in your job. Somebody said, well, my family down here, my family, they've betrayed me. And maybe someone's left you or abandoned you. Don't let your life be built up just in that. Can I tell you something? Sometimes people will abandon you. Sometimes they'll leave you high and dry. Sometimes they'll hurt you. I went one time, I worked for EMS for several years. Most of you know that. I went within a month and two times, I told some of the young people this, two times, two 16-year-old boys within a month of each other. I went over there and they stuck a shotgun right here to their chin. And both of them over their girlfriends. And both of them, they decided they're going to shoot themselves and kill themselves because their girlfriends left them. And so both of them did the same thing. When they started pulling the trigger, they flinched. And instead of it killing them, it just took their face off. One of them eventually killed himself again. The other one was killed in a car accident. But, and he was high on drugs or something like that. But my point is this, listen to me, you boys and girls. Ain't no girl, ain't no boy. Your life ought to be so built up in. There's a whole lot of boys and girls out there. Don't build your life around one and think that your life is all about that. My point is this. And I'm not encouraging splitting up. I just want you to know temporary things down here are not what you build your whole life on. They may come and go. The Bible says if your treasures are down here, thieves may break in and steal them. You know what I'm saying? I've seen some people work all their life, put money back. And I've seen them. Take away things from themselves, and they just hoard their money up, and then quick as they die, some child comes in and just destroys and takes it, and just blows every bit of it. And most of them ruins their life in the process. Now, let me give you some things. Let me give you some things that I just can't find words to describe. Paul said, thinking about Jesus, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Well, these things all come because of Jesus. The first thing is this: forgiveness of sins. Can you really describe how Jesus died on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, and yet somehow after 2,000 years, we hear the gospel preached, we believe upon Jesus Christ, we believe upon his sacrifice, what he did upon the cross of Calvary, that he was the Son of God that died and he gave his life for all, and that if we believe upon him, we might be saved, and we find forgiveness of sins through Jesus. The Bible says in Psalms 103 that he takes our sin as far as the east is from the west. He separates us from our sins, never to be remembered no more. I don't understand how God could take my past sins. Now, I can understand a little bit how my past sins, but my present sins after I've been saved and my future sins. Somebody said, well, if you're saved, you should never sin. Well, you're right, we shouldn't, but every one of us do. Somebody said, well, I don't. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and truth's not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins, cleanse of all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. In other words, what we need to understand is this, that we are saved, and we find forgiveness of sins because God, through his rich gift that Paul could not describe, he took, and if we believe in our heart upon Jesus Christ and we put our faith and trust in him, then whosoever cometh to him shall not perish but have what? Look here. Can you imagine how that God has forgiven our sins? How can you describe? Somebody said, well, preacher, describe exactly how God does it. I can't find the words to tell you. You say, well, do you believe it? I do. Why? Because he said so. And so therefore, I don't know how he's done it, but he took me the moment I believed in Jesus, and he took my past, present, future sins, and he cast them all away, put them under the blood of Jesus, and they are separated as far as the east is from the west, and I thank God for that. I'm so thankful. Can you imagine? Let me ask you this. What if God said, okay, I'll pick on Kathy, okay, Greg? You pay me to do this, okay? Look here. What if he told Kathy this morning, he said, now listen, Kathy, I saved you. When you believed upon Jesus, I saved you, and so therefore you're saved unless you sin again. You sin again, hell's going to be your destiny. Now, how would you like to have that responsibility? You probably wouldn't get through that today. Aren't you thankful that God gave you something that you can't put words to? That gift. The second thing I thought about was this, that we have been redeemed. The Bible says the word redeemed means we've been bought back. We've been sold ourselves down to sin. We were born in sin. We were sinners by birth. We're sinners by practice. We're sinners by all those things. And yet we were sinners. We were children of the devil, the Bible says. And then children of the devil. And the Bible says that Jesus come to die and pay a price. And we have been purchased or redeemed by his blood. I don't understand how he did that. I can't describe what it means. Can you imagine? And by the way, there's a lot of things about slavery. When I read some stories, there's a lot of things that I hate when I see some people that just absolutely abuse people and worse than animals. But can you imagine when this country fought the Civil War, and when it was through and the dust settled, and those that had been so mistreated, those that was truly in places that was cruel, yet they were brought out and said, now listen, you have now been redeemed, you're free. Can you imagine how they would feel for the first time? That's sort of like me whenever I was a sinner. All of a sudden I got under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. I saw myself as a sinner. I realized I deserved hell. And then yet I seen Jesus lifted up. I came to him, and when I came to him, I was redeemed. He bought me back from out of sin. How can you put words to that? Amen. I also thought about this. Not only that, but I thought about everlasting life. Here life comes and goes. But God promised us everlasting life, and we shall never perish. You said, preacher, I don't have much to be thankful for this year. If you're saved, you have all these things to be thankful for. You should not only be thankful for them, but how in the world can you even describe what it means to have eternal life? I'm going to tell you something. When you get up in heaven and you're experiencing eternal life, you'll understand what a great gift we got through Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I'm not saved this morning. Then you don't have eternal life. If you die, the wrath of God will be waiting for you. You say, I don't want that. Then that's why Jesus came, that you might be saved. And he promises that whosoever will, let him come. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? You want everlasting life? Come to Jesus. Fourth thing I thought about was adoption of sons. Now God took, the Bible says, to as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become sons of God. He adopts us into his family. Now look here. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't want to be an adopted child. You know what? We have several adopted children here right now. Can I tell you something? Your parents knew you, and they had a choice. And they chose to bring you into their family and make you part of their family. That's a high privilege. Yes. And that's a great love and testimony for what they thought about you. But let me say something this. God knew me, and yet he still was willing to adopt me into his family. How could I describe that? How could I put words to what God's done to let me be part of his family? Do I deserve it? No. Did he know who I was? And yet he still loved me while I was yet a sinner. Another thing is heaven. How many of you believe in heaven, by the way? Not that it matters. Heaven still exists. What? Let me ask you real quickly. I'll finish up here in a minute, but just hang on. What in heaven pleases you most to think about heaven? Tell me some things. Seeing Jesus. What? Okay. Throne of God. What else? Eternal life. No death. It wouldn't be good not have no more death. How many of you ever go to funerals? Man, I get tired of them. Wouldn't it be nice to be a place that you never die? No more sickness. How about growing old? I ain't going to say nothing, Chris. I said something the other day, and I still ain't lived it down. How about growing old? No tears. No devil. No sin. No sorrow. No sickness. How can you describe that? How can you put in words? As a matter of fact, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love him. Amen. You can't put into words what heaven is going to be. Oh, to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul said, look, I got a chance to see up there. Yeah, to live is Christ, but die is gain. And he said, listen, it's far better off to go up there. Now, you say, preacher, I don't have much to be thankful for. If you're saved, you do. I said this, and Kathy told me she used it the other day. I say this sometimes. If you're saved, now listen to me. If you're saved,
this is the only hell you'll ever know. And God's been pretty good, would you not admit? If this is the worst that we ever see, God's been pretty good. He's got a lot to be praised for. Now, not only that, but look here. Real quickly, I'm going to close, but just let me give you a couple things other that's on my mind. One is the fact that he never leaves us. Wherever we go, he's always with us. You can't shake Jesus, amen? He said, I'll be with you until the end of the earth, or end of the world. Not only that, but his promises. His promises that cannot fail. Some people make you promises, but when God makes you a promise, you can count on it. How about his amazing grace? You know what grace is? What God gives you that you don't deserve. You said, preacher, I don't deserve. I don't deserve that God would save me. There's not a person in this building that deserves that. There's not a person in the world that deserves it. Well, I know so-and-so. He's a pretty good guy. Surely God will save him. There is none good, no, not one. You better be thankful for his amazing grace. How can you explain the grace of God? Paul said this, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said, the only way I can describe what I am is by the grace of God. Not that I deserve anything. As a matter of fact, he said, I am chiefest of all sinners. He said, preacher, you don't know what I've done. No, but God does in his amazing grace. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. How about the privilege of prayer? How can you explain that where they used to, I had to send a high priest once a year to go behind a veil in the Holy of Holies to approach the throne of God. Now God says, listen, if you say, come to me boldly, let me know whatever's troubling you. You'll find grace. And last but not least, how about his word? Now those are things that are foundation of our thanksgiving. Now let me say this, I'll close. Knows, if you would, in that verse, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, knows the focus of thanksgiving. The focus is God. Now, the foundation of thanksgiving is all these things that we have that we can't find words to explain and describe. The focus should be to God. Who gave and made all those things possible? Even the temporal things, who gets the praise? Now, last but not least, Paul writing in this chapter, he said, you giving these offerings to the poor are just fruits of your thanksgiving. In other words, you are showing that you're thankful by the things that you're doing. Can I ask you this? And then we're going to sing a verse of invitation. What kind of fruits do you have showing how grateful you are? You children, listen to me a minute. When's the last time you went up to mama and daddy and said, thank you. I appreciate what you've done for me. I appreciate the sacrifices. I appreciate you caring for me. You say, oh, they know it. God knows everything, but he likes to hear it from us too. He says we are entering his gates with thanksgiving. We don't approach him without being thankful and tell him how much we're thankful for. How many of you ever prayed? How many of you really got serious praying? Anybody? I'll tell you this, when you pray before God, there's two things that will happen. First thing you do is you'll come before God, you got to say, God, forgive me. Because you just feel guilty. The second thing you'll do is you'll be thankful. Say, God, I'm so thankful for what you've done. You know why? A true spirit of thanksgiving is to be thankful to God. Now listen to me. What's the fruits of your thanksgiving to God? How do you show God that you're thankful for what he's done for you and for the gifts that he's given you? You say, oh, preacher, he knows it. Yes, he does. But he wants you to be thankful. And one of the greatest dangers in the day in which we live is they are unthankful. Don't be unthankful. Appreciate what you have. Don't live your life trying to get things you don't have. and understand who it is that gave you the things that you got. Amen. Let's stand. Those kids, when they were singing a while ago, they sung about the greatest nation on earth. I believe we live in it. I believe God's blessed America. I believe we're living off the fruits of blessings that God's given them, this great country. And you say, preacher, I've got it rough. You haven't seen rough. You ought to be thankful. Amen. This is a season of thanksgiving. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. Are you thankful this morning? As we sing, Brother Porter.